Our subject tonight is titled, God-ordained authority for the family, employers, and others. Sometime in the future, Lord willing, I'd like to preach on God-ordained authority for the church. But tonight we're going to be sticking mainly to God's ordained authority for the family, employers, and others. We have authority all around us. Think about all the authority we have around us. The authority of the government. The authority of our employers. The authority, you sisters, of your husband. The authority of our father. The authority of the school board. The authority of the principal. The authority of the coach on the softball team. Why do we need to submit? It is a question each of us needs to ask. What is the biblical basis for authority? We are surrounded by authority, so we should know these answers from a biblical worldview. Do we really need to obey? Where do they get their authority? Why do they have it? Do I need to respect it? From Romans 13, we learn that authority is a God thing. Romans 13, verse 1, you're familiar with this. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God. There is no power but of God. God is the author of authority. He has willed, it is his design, that authority be used to bring order and structure on earth for his glory. But he didn't only designate that authority be used. He instituted positions of authority. He instituted civil government where men are in charge of certain regions. He designed the institute of marriage where the husband is the authority over the wife and the parents in authority over the children. God designed these institutions and we realize that we need to submit to them. Again, Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God. The word ordained here in the Greek, it's tasso. And it means arranged. God arranged, supernaturally arranged the civil government and the family and the church institutions. We are to submit to these, which means to come underneath the authority. These institutions were supernaturally arranged, designed, and implemented here on earth by God. But what about the school board? The Bible doesn't talk about school boards. What about the fire chief? What about your supervisor? What about the softball coach? What about all the authority structures we have in society? Well, in 1 Peter 2, verse 13, it says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. The word ordinance in the Greek, ketres, means to bring into formation. The word comes from another Greek word, which means to fabricate. The idea is that human society fabricates, forms organizations of authority. And we are to submit to these human fabricated authority structures because God recognizes their authority and he gives them their authority. So even if it isn't a God-ordained institution, we are to submit to these human fabricated authority structures. So if they God-instituted authority, tasso, arranged by God, such as church leadership, civil government, or the head of the family, we are to submit. Or if it's a human ordained, kritris, fabricated by human agreement, such as a school board, employer, fire chief, we too are to submit in these situations. God ordained authority. What are the responsibilities of those he ordained to lead? What are the responsibilities of those under God-ordained authority? We want to look first at rules for those entrusted with authority from God. Rule number one, you must handle the authority God gave you respectfully. Whether you're a husband or a father or a supervisor or administrator, remember this. Your authority is from God. It is a God thing. Treat it with respect. Handle it with care. I thought of the illustration. Pretend your friend had a dad who started a clinic to help poor people with various eye diseases. In this clinic, the blind were operated on and made to see. In the clinic, those who were going blind, the diseases were cured. And later, your friend was given, he was handed down this clinic by his father. And your friend shut down the clinic and put a video arcade center in instead. Did this friend take what was given him by his father and use it with respect? Did he use it with respect? No, he brought shame to what was given him. Those of you in authority, are you bringing shame to what was handed you by your father? Do you view it as being handed to you by God? And you must put your full potential into using it wisely and respectfully. Fathers, your authority is a God thing. Are you wasting it? Employers, here tonight, your authority is a God thing. Are you negligent in your care of it, this calling? Every leader must look at God as the source of his authority and treat God's authority with respect. Rule number two, you must follow the leadership mandate of Genesis 2:15. God had created the earth. He had planted a beautiful garden. He needed a leader, a supervisor to oversee this domain. And Adam was given this authority. And notice what God tells Adam to do in his position of leadership in Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The word dress means to work, labor, cultivate. And in the context of this verse, it means to bring growth. Adam, use your authority in my domain to bring growth in everything in it. Also in his leadership, Adam's leadership, God told him to keep it. Keep means to guard, to protect, to watch. You see, these are two very significant words that define the two most important roles for those of you in authority. They are to bring growth in the area under them, and they are to protect it. Maybe some of you already wish you could be in authority. And maybe you pictured the boss as sitting at a desk with his feet propped up and his secretary bringing him a coffee and living leisurely. But that isn't a true picture of godly leadership. True leadership involves tons of work, whether it's a business or whether it's a school or whether it's a father or whether it's a husband. Supervisors, you need to see that your company grows and that your employees grow to their potential. You need to protect your business and employees from anything that can bring them harm. Fathers and husbands, you need to be working full time to see that your wife grows spiritually and emotionally. You need to be teaching your children, cultivating growth, and protecting them from any harmful influences. Any leadership position involves these two responsibilities designed by God: bringing growth and protecting. Leaders, are you bringing growth or are you destroying? Are you bringing protection or are you allowing them to just fend for themselves? From my personal experience, and this is especially from a workforce experience, There are two kinds of leaders that are the exact opposite of the Genesis 2:15 mandate. The first of them is the proud authority. Everything revolves around him. Everything is for his growth and his benefit. He is self-centered. He is self-focused. I remember many years ago, the one department I worked in at Gladfelder's, the leader would never listen to anyone else's idea. The reason, the only good ideas were his ideas. And if I remember right, I think one time a group of employees came in, and they told him what was on their heart. And he said, no, that's no good. And then like 6 months later, it was his idea, and then it was a good idea. And this department was so demoralized. No one cared about their jobs because it was all about the boss. The second type that's the opposite of the Genesis 2:15 mandate is the passive authority. A passive leader doesn't get involved. He just hopes that things work out by themselves. I also worked in a department with a passive leader. We never saw him. If there was a problem that needed fixed, he didn't fix it. He depended on the employees to just try to get it fixed themselves or just make it do. And this department was even more demoralized. Passive, not getting involved, not bringing growth to your employers, not protecting those under you. Leaders, whether you're an employer or you're a father or you're a husband, if you're proud or if you're passive, you need to repent. It's not about you. It's about the good of what God has put you in charge of. Are you involved in bringing growth to your wife, to your children, to your employees, or others you are in authority over? Are you involved in protecting your wife, your children, your employees, or others you are in authority over? Are you involved in it for God's glory? Respect God's authority he has given you. Bring growth and protection. We saw that those in authority must handle the authority God gave them respectfully. They must follow the leadership mandate of Genesis 2:15. The third rule is a leader must not dishonor his position. Leaders, what is holding you up is God's authority. He created the authority involved in your position. In some cases, he even instituted the position you are in, such as a civil or church or family leadership position. You are standing on the authority that God created. If you are covered with slime, it will run down and it will tarnish the whole position and the whole authority concept. How we act brings either glory or disgrace to what we stand on. I came across a rather crude example, but it is an example nevertheless. You know, sports fans, they either bring honor or disgrace to the team that they stand on. How the public perceives and judges a team is often based on the actions of the players and the fans. I read recently that the Philadelphia fans have the worst reputation in America. Over the years, Philadelphia fans have booed Santa Claus. One time, the recipient of America's first hand transplant, he threw the ceremonial first pitch with his freshly transplanted hand, and the ball just rolled over home plate, and the fans booed him. One time, a player was injured and was carried off the field on a stretcher, and the fans cheer. Now, when people around the nation think of the Phillies or the Eagles, some think negative about them because there were a few of their fans that stand on their name have brought dishonor to the organization. And that is how it is with us in authority. We either bring honor or dishonor to what holds us up. A supervisor who is passive or proud dishonors God's authority. A husband who abuses his wife brings shame to the position of male authority. A father who neglects his children brings a tarnish to the concept of fatherhood in the eyes of the children. And so can you see why Satan attacks leaders so? It's an attack on God. It's an attack on his institutes. It's an attack on the grace called authority. Leaders, we need to guard it. Don't allow manure to be spread over the position you stand on. Be careful. Watch. Be on your guard. We saw rules for those entrusted with God-ordained authority. Next, we want to look at a couple rules for those that are underneath God-ordained authority. Rule number one, you must honor the position even if you have trouble honoring the person. Let me repeat that. You must honor the position even if you have trouble honoring the person. We talked of how God instituted some leadership positions. And we talked of how God views as legitimate human arrangements of authority, that it's a God thing. The problem is, not all authority figures are godly. Sometimes they are corrupt, depraved, evil people who hold God-ordained positions. What is a Christian to do then? What about the father who doesn't care about the feelings of his wife and children? How can the wife respect him? What about the employer who focuses only on himself and he could care less about the employees? I read someone said, one boss I had yelled at me and threw a box of pens at me that I had ordered because the box said red, but there were pink pens inside. Another person said the worst boss I ever had was constantly cursing his staff and calling them awful names. He would constantly yell at them in order to motivate them. Honor them in this position? Yes, sir. We have no choice. We must honor the position even if we have trouble honoring the person. Again, let me give you a rather crude example. Many people believe the Dome of the Rock, which is a Muslim holy site, is built on the site of the New Testament temple. Something evil is built on top of something which is from God. Now, if you're standing on the Dome of the Rock, what would your attitude be? It would be honor and respect, right? Why? Because you know that under the dome is something holy. You know there is a God thing underneath. And though the dome is disgusting to you, you know that beneath it is something worthy of respect. Brothers and sisters, that should be our attitudes toward authority, no matter how evil and slimy they are. We must see past them to the God-ordained position they hold. We must respect the position. We must honor the God-ordained platform that they are standing on. Your boss swears at you and treats you harshly. Honor the platform he is standing on. 1 Timothy 6, verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Sometimes it's hard. Maybe your husband isn't very sensitive to your needs. You have trouble talking to him because he's so self-centered. Yet Ephesians 5 verse 33 says, and the wife see that she, what? Reverence her husband. Reverence the platform he is standing on. Show respect to the God-ordained authority he has. Do you remember the count of a man named David and his boss. What was his name? Saul. He only tried to kill David a couple times. David tried his hardest to be a good servant, and it only resulted in jealousy. Now, what was David's attitude towards Saul? Well, remember the account when Saul was hunting David again to kill him. But David knew he was sleeping in a camp right near him. And one of his men said, "David, we should go kill him, and I'll kill him personally." And David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's," what? "Anointed, and be guiltless." David said furthermore, "As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed." Did you get it? The Lord's anointed. You see, our honor for authority cannot be based on feelings. It's based objectively that they are on a God-ordained platform, based on feelings, based on human emotions. We tend to disrespect authority that is flawed. But when we look at it objectively, that they are standing on God-ordained authority, then we can respect and we can honor them. David saw God-ordained authority in this jealous, envious, bloodthirsty boss. He respected his authority. Second rule for those underneath authority: you must have an attitude of fear and trembling towards those in authority. As I studied this, it was just kind of interesting. Actually, it was kind of amazing at how many times the word fear was used in association with our attitude towards God-ordained authority. Talking of our civil rulers, Romans 13, verse 7 says, "Render unto them," what? "Fear." Talking of our employers, Ephesians 6, verse 5, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your master according to the flesh, with fear and trembling." In 1 Peter 2, verse 18, now this again is talking about our employers. It says, "Be subject with all fear." Talking of the wife's attitude towards her husband, 1 Peter 3, verse 2 says, "While they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear." Now, in our culture, the words fear and trembling, we associate that with physical harm. This fear is, we associate those words, fear and trembling, that something negative could happen to us physically. But in the New Testament usage, I believe the words have a little different meaning. It's talking of an attitude of awe at who's before us. An example would be when Ronald Reagan was president. If you could have met him, I believe all of us, there would have been a little bit of fear and trembling. Not because you were afraid he was going to hurt you, but because of the position he held. And that is to be our attitude towards all authority, not just the president of the United States. There should be an awe of our boss because he is an authority from God. Wives, there should be an awe of your husband simply because God has given him the mandate to lead in your life. All authority, whether arranged by God or human fabricated, needs to be treated with respect, with fear, and trembling. Do most people today have an attitude of fear and trembling towards authority? Or do they have a frivolous and slanderous attitude? "He's just a boss. What does he know? Who cares what he thinks? He only has that position because it was handed to him from his dad." I don't care what my old man thinks. My husband is so pathetic. Let me tell you the latest thing that he did. A frivolous and slanderous attitude towards God-ordained authority. Where I work, as all of you know, it was started by a man named Philip H. Gladfelder. That's where you get the P.H. Gladfelder. A couple years, well, this might have been 15 years ago, the groundskeeper, he was using an electric hedge trimmers to trim the shrubbery in front of the main office. Now, P.H. Gladfelder III, he was the chairman at that time, he came out and he asked the groundskeeper why he was using a hedge trimmer when he wanted each one snipped off individually with a hand snippers. Now, the groundskeeper, he had known that that's how he wanted it done. But finally, the groundskeeper asked him, why do you want it done that way? And Phil didn't say much. He just took the man, the groundskeeper, aside. He pointed up to the side of the building. He said, whose name do you see on the side of the building there? And of course it said, P.H. Gladfelder. And the groundskeeper got the point. You see, he was the authority, and he needed respected. And when we interact with our authority, whether it's our boss or our husband or our father, our school principal, do we see them and some of their stupid ideas that they might have, or do we see God-ordained authority written all over them? We must stand in awe, in fear, and in trembling. We want to close with three action points. Three action points. First of all, look over your shoulder. You're a Christian boss. Whether it's an employer or as a husband or as a father, perhaps you abuse your authority. You're proud, self-centered. Perhaps you don't use your authority at all. You're passive. Well, God has handed you this wonderful gift, and you neither produce growth and you don't protect like God has called all leaders to do. What you need to do is look over your shoulder. You see, that is God behind you. That is who your employees see. That is who your wife and your children see. You disgrace God. You make the name of God stink because your authority comes from God and you make it stink. So others looking on view God, they view God as being like you. Leaders, keep looking over your shoulder. See that God is behind you and you either bring him glory or you bring him shame by your leadership. Make any necessary changes. Those of you who are under authority, you too must look over your shoulder. From Scripture, it is crystal clear that as Christians, when you refuse to obey and honor leadership, those around you, they see God behind you, and they throw contempt upon God because of your actions. I want you to listen to 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own master worthy of all honor. And then it gives the reason why. That the name of God and his doctrine be not, what? Blasphemed. So why should you obey? The name of God is blasphemed when you don't submit. All those around you see you being unsubmissive. And they look over your shoulder at your God, and they talk evil of your God. Also, it says, and his doctrine be not blasphemed. You can go to work, and you can be busy witnessing and talking about the head veiling and non-resistance and talking about the resurrection of Christ and witnessing about heaven and witnessing about hell. But when they see that unsubmissive spirit, everything you teach goes down the drain. You bring dishonor to God and his doctrine. Titus 2, verse 9 through 11 says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, nor ploring, but showing all good fidelity. And again, why? And it gives a reason. That they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. The word adorn here in the Greek is cosmeo. And it's where we get the word cosmetics. Women put on cosmetics to make themselves look good. And here it says that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. It means when you have a submissive spirit at your workplace, you make the doctrines of Christ look good. You make the doctrines of Christ look attractive by your submissive spirit. Do you do that? All of us under authority, do we make the doctrines of Christ? Do we use the cosmetics? Do we make them look good to others by our submissive spirit? Or do we make them look unattractive and ugly? Do we need to make any changes? Action point number two. Look around you. Those of you in authority, I want to challenge you to look around you. You have so much potential to make a difference, potential to bring growth, potential to protect from harm. What an awesome privilege God has given you. See the multitudes. Think of how your proud or passive leadership can bring destruction. Think of how your growth and protection-oriented leadership can bring joy to those around you. Always be looking around you. Think of the potential impact you can have for good or the impact you can have for evil. Look at your family underneath you. Look at your wife. Look at your employees. Always remember that we have a tremendous responsibility and we will play a tremendous impact upon those underneath us. Another challenge. Now this is for those of you who need to submit, and that which is all of us. Again, look around us. You see, as you refuse to submit to God-ordained authority, you are affecting in a negative way those around you. You know, when a chain has one weak link, it affects the entire chain. It makes the entire chain less effective in the task it has to do. Are you that weak link? Does your insubordinate spirit spread to others and become an obstacle of leadership's mandate to bring growth and protection? Wives, refusing to submit will limit your husband's ability to protect your family. There have been many fathers who have desired to protect their children from evil, but because the mother obstructed his authority, her children suffered the consequences. Employees, refusing to submit will limit leadership's ability to bring growth in the business. Look around you. The third and last action point, maybe this is the most important. Look up. Look up at Christ, our supreme example for those in leadership. Jesus Christ, see how he leads the church. See his compassion. See his commitment for growth. See his commitment to protect the church. Follow the example of Christ. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Look up. Be a servant leader like Christ in your mandate of leadership. Husbands, do you lead your wife? Do you lead your children like Christ leads the church? Employees, employers, do you lead your employees like Christ leads the church? Each of us needs to look up. Those of you, us under authority, we also need to look up at Christ's example. He submitted to the Father, even when it was hard, even when it required personal sacrifice. He submitted unto death. In Gethsemane, he said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." John 6:38, "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And we, as was read in our verses, we are to follow in his steps. Are we better than Christ that we can refuse to submit? Who are we to defy God-ordained authority? I want to close with this question. Are you smarter than a donkey? In Numbers 27, we have the account of Balaam on his journey with his donkey. And three times the donkey saw the angel standing in the way. And three times the donkey took action based on what he saw. You see, the donkey saw the holy. He saw the supernatural in front of him, even though others didn't see it. The question for us: do we see God-ordained authority in our boss, no matter how evil he might be, no matter how slime-covered he might be? Do we see God-ordained authority in your husband, in your father? Do we see the holy? Do we see it's something from God behind every authority figure? The donkey acted on what he saw. How do we act to God-ordained authority? May God bless each of you as you lead, and may God bless each of you as you submit to God-ordained authority.